Welcome everyone to our podcast, Motivate to Move. This is episode 87, and I am John Legroff.
And I'm Diane Trites.
Well, Diane, tonight we have ourselves a very special guest, someone we're going to welcome back to our podcast, Motivate to Move, Darren Duguay. He's back. We had such a great time with him last time when he was on, episode 81. Now, if you want to know more about Darren, because we get into some, you know, everything about Darren back in episode 81, please feel free to go back to episode 81 and listen. And Darren talks about stuff that he does and some things that we talked about back in that episode that we may or may not touch on tonight was holistic fitness, the mental health, the physical health, the religious health, the emotional health, the four pillars of health,
At least four pillars.
I remember you said that at least, because I'm assuming that potentially maybe later on there could be more added. I'm guessing is why you say that. Me, Darren, Diane, we're talking, and Darren wanted to talk a little bit about the Buddy Up program. And, you know, I know he wants to get into that. Both Diane and I feel this is exceptionally important. So we wanted to give Darren the time to come on our show this evening and talk about it. And we hope that everybody out there listens, because hold your friends and loved ones close, because you never know when it could be over, right? So thank you, Darren. Thank you very much for coming back to our podcast. We very much appreciate your time and your knowledge. Thank you.
You're most welcome, John and Diane. And everyone, John and Diane are back for another episode. So let's make it happen.
Give it up for John and Diane. Yay!
Give it up for John and Diane. And give it up for everybody who's taking time out of their busy schedules to be able to listen to another one of the podcasts, Motivate to Move, which brings some great people within our communities together and share their own individual stories, journeys, and some really good content being populated. So thank you, John and Diane, for co-creating the podcast and keeping conversations hitting on important topics that are very relevant to our audience. And a big thank you for the audience that's weighing in, reaching out and commenting on some of those podcasts. So great to be here. And let's get down to wherever this is going. Where are we going, John? Where are we going, Diane?
Did you want to start off maybe with your National Aboriginal Day 2 days ago? Did you want to say anything about that? Because I know that that was 2 days ago, and I believe you said that you had, did you celebrate any of that? What exactly did you do, and how does that fit with your emotional fitness, your holistic fitness?
That's awesome, John. So, yes, I did get a chance to actually celebrate National Indigenous Peoples Day that took place this past week. And really the message takeaway for this particular one is let's all collectively, nationally, of all different walks of life, come together and celebrate one another and love one another unconditionally and support one another. And if there's ever a time we need to step up and really be more vigilant in supporting ourselves individually and those within our circle, it's now. There's some really significant challenges that individually, collectively, in the community we're facing, but we're not going to get through or improve these circumstances unless we do it together. So I did get a chance to celebrate. I get a chance to celebrate pretty much every day, being Mi'kmaq. Use my drum in the morning, usually again at night, and really take in the great things that are happening within our communities, being led by Indigenous and non-Indigenous people alike, who really want to really celebrate the diversity and the cultures that we have within our own country and abroad.
Mm-hmm. You said you use your drum. Is that what you said?
I do. I have my drum right back here, Diane. I have one of my spiritual teachers, Red Roy, who end up helping me make this particular drum, which I play every morning. With my girlfriend, Cindy. It is made of four-legged, or basically spiritual animals in this particular area, namely deer and moose hide. And then we take a piece of wood from our local forest, and we create ourselves a little bit of a stick so we can end up playing the songs. Right now, currently working on the Creator song and the Ancestors song.
And you do this every day?
I do, every morning. Every morning. Would you like to listen? Would you like to hear us all?
Yeah, I was going to ask if you would play it, yes. Now, I have been looking forward to this since we scheduled the interview, Darren. So
Well, thank you, John. I think the important invitation to everybody is we're really now going into something called the powwow season of the year. So there's a lot of powwows and celebrations in different communities that are unfolding as we speak. And there's going to be a number of different powwows that's going to happen up until probably September. So in an invitation to go out and really embrace the gifts, the beauty that happens within the powwows, which includes drumming and smudging and other tools to be shared with everyone. So why don't we start with a song? How's that sound, Diane and John?
Definitely.
Okay, take it away.
So my helper is my girlfriend, Cindy.
Hi, Cindy.
Is it John? Is it Diane?
Hi, Cindy.
Diane.
Oh, and she has her program.
Came back from a walk.
So much like whenever we grab our drums, which is important and connected to this particular topic around mental health, suicides, and buddy up, and it is a call to action in some cases to wake up. So whenever we grab a drum, we end up hitting it four times to wake up the spirit of the drums and also the spirit within ourselves. So let's start off with that. And then we're going to go into a song called Creator, as we're going to co-create a podcast tonight.
Excellent. Let's give Cindy a hand there for leading us through that song, The Creator.
Bravo.
Awesome.
Bravo. Thank you, Cindy.
Thank you.
I could feel it. So what did that song, what did it really mean? Like what does it mean to you?
Well, so first of all, it is one of our indigenous songs called The Creator. It is available on YouTube and other places. So when you hear the word The Creator, Diane, what does that mean for you, the Creator?
The Creator, well, that's where everything started. It's everything in this earth.
Right.
It's made by the creator, nature.
Yeah, it's everything. It's everything that was created by whomever or whatever created it. Yeah, whoever you believe created it.
Right. And so we actually all have the creator within us. We all came from the creator. Now, depending upon what sort of religion we may be coming from, we call it different names, but in the indigenous, we might refer to it as the creator. And so coming from the creator's within me. Creator's also around me. But the creator, Diane, I look at you as a creator. John, I look at you as a creator. I look at myself in this Zoom screen. I'm a creator. And collectively, we come together. We can co-create and make a difference. And this is what I think we're doing with this podcast.
I agree. That's excellent.
Yeah, I guess I never really thought of it in those words before. But yes, you're exactly right.
You'll also notice within that particular song, there was a particular segment of that song that was played. Let's see if here's a trivia question for you. I know that being sports buffs you are, and our viewers are sports buffs. There was a particular component of that song that was played how many times throughout?
I would have to say 4 times if I'm making a guess.
I was going to guess 4.
Oh, my God. You were going to guess 4 as well, Diane. Significance, is that not? As we had started earlier tonight talking about the circle of health, holistic health, the pillars of health.
Four pillars.
So there are 4 pillars of health. It comes from our circle of health. 4 pillars, 4 legs on the chair that we use sitting at the kitchen table or other places. Driving a vehicle. I have not been very successful in driving my vehicle, whether it was my Honda CRX back in 1990-91. A time frame or any other my vehicles, I have not been very successful in driving a vehicle with only 3 tires or 2.
Yeah, it never ends well, does it?
No.
Right. So tonight talking about buddy up and talking about mental health. Well, I think it's important that an invitation to take a step back and take an eagle-eye view of the circle of health, which has 4 components to it: physical, mental, spiritual, emotional. 4 very separate components of our health. And I think traditionally and conventionally, when we look at someone, another human being or a family dynamic or whatever that case might be, if I look at something and I don't see something physically wrong, I don't see a broken arm, I don't see a cut, so though I don't think it's a physical injury, sometimes we default and refer to it as a what?
You mean a mental injury?
Right. So traditionally through conditioning and programming, there's a lot of defaulting thinking, well, if I can't see a physical injury, there must be something mentally going on. Well, how do we know it's not spiritually? And how do we know it's not emotionally? So that's the first question.
Well, I guess we wouldn't know.
Right.
Unless we know the 4 components well, and we know ourselves, and we know what's happening around us. I guess we would have to be more aware of what's going on with us and around us.
Absolutely, John. So collectively and individually, for us to become more aware, an invitation to the audience and people who are listening to this podcast is that if I don't see something physically wrong, or there's something physically off, there's a cut, there's a bruise, there's a broken leg or otherwise, to challenge our own belief and conditioning system to think that maybe it is not mental health, maybe it is something dealing with our spiritual health or our emotional health, because there are 4 very separate key components of holistic health, and that is physical, mental, spiritual, emotional. So there is the first challenge of the night there, John and Diane, and to the viewers, is to take a second, reflect, and go, this may not be a mental health issue.
Right. That's a really great point, Darren, because we think of almost everything as physical and mental. We're basically trained that way. And in fact, if you go back, I don't know, let's say 50 years ago, maybe, it was probably more physical and less mental was even talked about then. So we only really ever talk about two of the four components. Very rarely are we introduced. Some people are in touch with it, obviously, but most people, it's the two components, physical and the mental. The other two are not really talked about.
Would you agree with that statement, Diane?
I would agree with that. And I would agree with John, too, that until recently, the mental part was taboo.
Yeah.
It just wasn't talked about.
Yeah.
Right.
You just didn't talk about it.
So we're trying to put four columns into two columns.
And why then, John, let me just throw some stats out here for a second, folks. Okay. So now we realize there are physical, mental, spiritual, emotional, four very separate components of our health. That predominantly and traditionally we focus on mental and physical health, but we really don't, as I heard Diane say, don't talk about or connect with or strengthen our spiritual health and emotional health. And this is a real critical piece. Let me throw something out to you. And I think the biggest thing is just a little trivia question for everyone. June 18th, 1940 was a key determining period in time. That is 82 years ago. June 18th, 1940, when Brigadier General J.R. Reese, a doctor of psychiatry in the military, convinced the National Assembly that psychiatry were the professionals over mental hygiene. And then a lot of conditioning and programming took place after a while, and therefore a lot of focus went on physical and mental. So it's only really been when connecting with, again, going back and celebrating our indigenous people, our population, there's such a huge, huge pool of wealth and knowledge and tools and resources to be healthy. I remember having a conversation with a buddy of mine, Tim Brody from Nova Scotia, and he worked with police officers and worked a little bit with the military and stuff like that. And predominantly what we would do in the military when we deploy folks overseas and they're involved in a theater operation, and they get a chance to have 2 weeks of block leave. And when they take a 2 weeks of block leave, we might send them to a beach, soak up the sun, drink a whole heck of a lot of alcohol, and in some cases do other things that are really not legitimately legal while you're in the forces, but it happens. And Tim and I had that conversation. I don't think that's the Canadian way. I think a great Canadian way going forward would be when we have people who are really impacted because of the line of work that they do, and we all go through personal circumstances. So instead of drowning ourselves and avoiding the impact of an experience or event by getting involved with addictive behaviors, whether it's sex, drugs, rock and roll, or whatever it might be, it's sometimes it's used to avoid things that over a period of time, if we don't connect and process those experiences, then it's going to play out maybe in some unhealthy ways and will affect our relationships. So Tim and I basically conclude that a great Canadian way going forward is when people are impacted by an incident. We had an incident with the shootings a number of different years ago, to take our entire community or people who are deployed, or whoever that might be, and connecting with our indigenous people. Get them into the drumming. Get them into the smudging. Get them into the sweat lodge. Get them into nature. And then really strengthen some of the other pillars that may have had a significant impact as a result of losing one. But here's a little bit of a trivia for you. We got down here that statistics indicate that the numbers of those individuals that have died by suicide has not significantly changed since 2008. The numbers have not significantly changed since 2008. So that is over a period of 14 years. We got down here that according to the 2020 Federal Framework for Suicide Prevention Progress Report, there are twice as many suicide deaths in males as females in the 10 to 19 age bracket. There are four times the number of deaths by suicide in males than females when males are over the age of 65. Since the beginning of the pandemic, there have been 3 times the number of calls for help. And the WHO regional director indicates there are 800,000 suicides per year worldwide.
Wow.
CBC just recently did a report in Nova Scotia. It was a psychologist that was on the line and shared the situation in Nova Scotia. They basically said that in 2020, there was 121 suicides in Nova Scotia. In 2021, 142 individuals died by suicide. That is one individual every 3 days. And in 2020 so far, the numbers are going to equal 142, but I would not be surprised when 31st of December 2022 rolls around, those numbers are higher than 142. So what is going on? John, Diane, you want to comment anything on those statistics, on those numbers? Since you're a hockey guy, talk about their numbers.
Well, I'm a numbers guy, so I love stats and numbers, but I want to know if you know, in 2008, did the numbers go up significantly in 2008 and then it's held that level since then? Or has it just been a steady increase?
I know that there's been a little bit of increase over the last period of 24 months, plus or minus. But the general statement is that we have not made a significant difference in the number of suicides since 2008. Right. No significant improvement. But the question becomes, how much money have we spent?
Probably not enough.
Well, we actually have had a significant amount of money that has been dumped into mental health. In fact, in 2022, there's approximately $5 billion being dumped into correction, $174 million being dumped into mental health. The unfortunate reality, I hate to be a little non-optimistic, but I don't think unless we change the model and we change the holistic approach to addressing a very important topic that impacts a lot of our people, we need to be able to take a step back and say, we have not made any significant difference. What are we doing not as effective as we could be?
Yeah, so we're dumping a bunch of money. But dumping money is not targeting what needs to be targeted. I mean, anybody can spend money. But like we said earlier, we're probably only focused on 2 pillars of health and not focused on the other two. So I'm sure that has something to do with it.
Perfect. So I'm going to invite and challenge the look of, instead of always focusing on physical and mental, why don't we take a step back and look at the fact that there's at least 4 key pillars that we need to take a look at holistically, physically, mentally, spiritually, and emotionally, if we really want to make a difference in the number of people who are impacted by overall mental health or with suicides. So to be able to look at more of a holistic, resiliency-based model to address something that has not been effectively addressed to date. United States military forces, I'm not sure if I mentioned this in the first podcast or not, John and Diane, but the U.S. military forces during the Iraq campaign noticed a significant spike in suicides when people were coming back to their home country. And there was so much focus on labeling the military serving individuals and in a number of different cases, handing them a garbage bag full of a cocktail of psychiatric drugs to deal with things like survivor's guilt. If I lose a buddy, a friend, a colleague in battle, in a number of cases, this is not a mental health issue. Survivor's guilt, well documented a couple of years ago by a psychologist, is not a mental health issue. It's an emotional health issue.
Emotional.
Survivor's guilt. It is the guilt. Why did the IED take out my fire team partner and not me? Why did I not see that sniper on top of the vehicle? Why did I not see the IED in time? Why did I not see that vehicle driving downtown Moncton? Why did I not see that vehicle in time before it hit the person at the pedestrian crosswalk? Survivor's guilt. So if we try to if we try to inflate a flat tire with a jackhammer or a wrench, we're not going to have much success. But if we patch it properly with care and use a pump to inflate the tire, we're going to make progress. So using the right tools at the right time to address the topic or get the job done.
So basically, we are doing the same thing over and over again, getting the same result, and we can't figure out why. And we're dumping more money into it.
So doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result is better known as what, Diane or John?
Insanity.
Insanity. Trying to address the same thing using the same approach with, for the most part, not a real significant difference in our toolkit and expecting a different result.
Right. Well, being diagnosed incorrectly and being treated incorrectly, it's just not going to work.
Right. So it comes back again to be able to holistically support our individuals. And I know you want to touch a little bit tonight on the Buddy Up initiative.
Yes.
Do you have any questions before we get into Buddy Up?
Back to what you were saying a few minutes ago, we were talking about the, you know, the physical and the mental, but we don't really address the emotional or the spiritual. And I'm just wondering, there must be a connection between everything being closed, you know, in 2020 and into 2021, like all of the churches, the synagogues, and where people gathered to celebrate their spiritual beliefs. And suddenly they weren't able to do that in person. And I really think that doing something like that in person really adds to the value of it. It's just not the same connecting online.
Mm. You bring up a really, really good point, Diane. I'll go back to the situation regarding the U.S. who deployed a series of different troops overseas, Iraq, and then saw the spike in suicides when they got back. In fact, you may have noticed the whole campaign of the 22 push-up challenge. And it was basically the fact that in some cases they were losing 22 veterans per day to suicide.
Wow. So brutal.
One every 65 minutes, I think it was, at a particular period in time. So they said, we've got to stop focusing on labeling, diagnosing, labeling, giving them a cocktail of psychiatric drugs with the intention of trying to address potentially something like survivor's guilt, which is not a mental health issue, but an emotional health issue. So what they did is they end up going back to the fact that we need to what? We need to stop focusing on the problem. We need to stop focusing on that the fact that there's a mental health issue. We need to stop labeling people. And what they actually end up doing, they actually end up creating a resiliency and fitness-based model, holistic-based, looks like a star, and it has 5 points on the star. It talked about to be able to have, again, another holistic approach to supporting individuals in their overall fitness and health and wellness. The points on the star were physical, spiritual, emotional, and this is something you touched on nicely, Diane, social. And family, being socially connected and feeling like we belong, like a family, just the social and family determinants, Diane, made up 40% of the resiliency-based model. The other 60% touched on physical, spiritual, emotional. What did they end up doing? They stopped focusing on the mental piece so much so that they actually took it out of the holistic-based model.
Wow, that's amazing.
Physical, emotional, spiritual, fit. And what happened to the incidents of suicide? We saw the pendulum starting to shift the other way. So let's not focus on what the problem is. Let's focus on the results we want to achieve, and that is to be able to equip individuals with a holistic-based toolkit to support individuals in becoming more resilient, more fit. And so that's what the United States military forces did during the Iraq campaign. And that's, again, another holistic model we touched on tonight, and that was the circle of health, ensuring that we're touching on four key components: physical, mental, spiritual, emotional, and we're bringing it together with a center point of how balanced are we in those four pillars?
So you're trying to be balanced with all the pillars.
Right.
As close to balance as possible.
Right.
So one's not lacking and maybe one's not way ahead of the other. To just try and keep an even keel.
Absolutely, John. So to go back and say, okay, when I look at my program of being healthy, fit, and well, and my touch point on my physical, mental, spiritual, and emotional fitness, if we're working off of the circle of health model, which comes from the indigenous people, or if we look at the other model from the United States military forces, they talk about how making sure that we're balanced with our physical, spiritual, emotional, social, and family fitness components. One is not more important than the other. But if we put too much emphasis in one, then the other piece might become weak.
Right.
And what happens if I sit on a four-legged chair with one leg that's possibly weak?
You're very wobbly. At very best, you're wobbly.
Right. So there was a great initiative, John, Diane, and viewers, that was launched a couple of years ago from the Center of Suicide Prevention out in Calgary, and it was called the Buddy Up Initiative. The Buddy Up program, it was a program that was predominantly designed by men, for men, and that was to recognize the fact that out of every four suicides, three are men or boys. Out of every four suicides, three are men or boys. But we do know, and I know I shared a little bit about my personal story, suicide is something that impacts all of us. It impacts that partner who's left behind, the spouse that's left behind, the children who are left behind. It creates that impact within our own community, our inner circles. But the CSP, Center of Suicide Prevention, launched the Buddy Up Initiative, and it was basically a program for men, by men, to recognize the three out of four suicides being predominantly male. But it does not have to be that way. We can change that. So Buddy Up provided, they got a website. So buddyup.ca, I think, is the website. And they have a hashtag Buddy Up. Lots of great resources on the social media channels of Instagram, LinkedIn, and Facebook. There's a really good website. And an individual or an organization can become something called a champion. So I can become a champion with this initiative. And it's not, I don't have to be male. I can be someone who's just concerned and want to play a part in addressing this. So there's some swag that got distributed. So there was air fresheners and a challenge card where something as simple of, let's come together and have a conversation around Buddy Up and what can we collectively do around it. Yeah, and that's the essence of Buddy Up, John.
I was on their website, and it's really well done. It's really well done. So I'm going to make sure that I link it in the show notes for sure. And I think the
other thing, if we touch point on this a little bit, let me just see if there's anything else I wanted to mention. We touched on, you know, being able to take a step back. And I think to commend the Center for Suicide Prevention and all the other individuals and groups and organizations, because there's a multiple number of different initiatives underway. Concerned citizens and family members and friends that this is an issue. It's not going to go away by itself.
No.
And people are hopping on an initiative to say, I'd like to do something about this. So we talked about what Buddy Up is. And I think, I had a chance to speak with someone, a very reliable source today. And when we look at the number of individuals that are impacted by suicide, the number is not totally accurate.
You know what, Darren? I was just going to ask you about that, because if we go back to, certain situations, like let's say a drug overdose, that may not be listed as a suicide, but it could very well be. It could very well be a cry for help. So the numbers are not the numbers. Once again, I love numbers, but I also know numbers could be manipulated to make them mean whatever it is you want them to mean.
So the numbers are really a lot lower than what they really...
Absolutely. They're way lower. Way lower.
So we're looking at a case, like you said, John, someone who says, you know what, I am done. I don't want to be playing. I don't want to end up carrying on this journey anymore called life. And I'm going to finish things off knowing full well that if I take this full bottle of pills, there is a good chance I'm not waking up.
Yep. It may or may not be, added up as a suicide. It might not be counted as a suicide, depending.
Right. So it gets chalked up as an overdose.
Yep, exactly.
Unless potentially there's a note written by the individual who takes the bottle of pills and say whatever that message is shared by the individual. But if there's no note left behind, then what is it? What about if we find one of our homeless individuals on the streets with a needle in their arm? Is that an overdose?
Yeah, you don't know.
Well, it's going to be listed as an overdose, I'm sure.
Yep.
Right. I think in essence, whichever way we look at it, we are losing way too many individuals, and we can do something about it. The beauty about Buddy Up is that it brings to bear the fact that let's put some more attention on this particular topic. Let's come together. I think there was, last time I checked, I think there was probably about 85 champions listed on the Buddy Up website. And those are a lot of different organizations across Canada who wants to play a part. And they're starting to implement, let's say, as part of their safety briefing into their organizations about, let's talk about what we can do to keep an eye on our buddy, our fellow family member, our friends. What can we do within the workplace? And I think the essence of it is, and I do hear it now and then, well, I'm not a psychologist. I'm not a psychiatrist. I'm not a counselor. You don't have to be.
No.
In fact, there's a much greater chance that a buddy is going to open up with me that they're struggling. And I can pick up the signs that I see some signs here that things are not quite right. There's something off. And there is an approach I can take with that. So there is a card actually as part of the Buddy Up initiative. Looks something like this, John Diane. It's about worried about a buddy. Buddy Up for Men's Suicide Prevention. And it's a four-step process about paying attention, starting a conversation with somebody that we're concerned about, asking questions and listening. And the other thing is stick to your role. There are resources in place, and anybody who has any sort of questions around what are additional support, then I hope you don't mind, John and Diane, say, folks, reach out to myself, reach out to John, reach out to Diane, because we're connected to people. Just purely by doing this podcast, you've done 80 some odd podcasts so far, and you've had some amazing guests in here that are got some great stories and have great tools in their toolkit. And I intuitively feel that a lot of them really want to help their fellow person, friend. Yeah, so we talked a little bit about, had a chance to talk to a reliable source. We talked a little bit about, you know, what's really constituted as a suicide and are the numbers really accurate. But if we look at the number of distress calls that actually go in to a particular agency, our numbers have gone up. During this last year, our numbers have gone up by about 25%.
That's a huge increase in 1 year. Huge.
Right. And when we have certain organizations and agencies that in a lot of cases are understaffed and undermanned, and then you have an influx of all these different calls, we now have a compounding effect. We have a surge in the number of calls for help, and we have the people who are there to help us that over a period of time, they're going to experience compassionate fatigue, they're going to experience burnout, and they're going to experience their own challenges. And so who's backing them up? And so on and so forth. But we can collectively all do a part.
Wow. On our last episode, back in episode 81, Darren, you turned the tables on us by asking Diane and I some questions, and we went through an exercise. And I have to say the exercise was fantastic. And I hope anybody listening to this episode that didn't hear that one goes back and listens to it, because I think it was an amazing experience. And once again, you have turned the tables on us, but in a different way. You've turned the tables on us by educating us. And everyone out there that's listening is more educated now than they were probably a half hour, an hour ago. So I just want to say thank you.
You're welcome, John. You said game, so why don't we finish off this podcast with a little bit of a workout or exercise? What do you think, Diane?
I'd love to. I know my facial expression didn't say that, but that's what I said.
I kind of thought you were going to be in for this competitive type, hanging out with John and seeing all this memorabilia in the back of John's backdrop. Is that Toronto Maple Leafs I see, John?
It's Wendell Clark over there on the wall, right there. That's Wendell Clark.
Okay.
I really enjoyed Wendell Clark when I was younger. I thought he was great.
Awesome. So I'm going to invite you to grab a piece of paper. And I invite anybody who's piping in and connecting with us today. Let's go through this together. So if you, for yourself individually, or those around you, if you're concerned about a buddy, a quick little exercise that you can do is this. Find a safe space, wherever that might be. Could be for a walk on the trail or a coffee somewhere, but walk with one of your friends and ask if it's okay if you listen to them for a few minutes. I think a lot of cases, our friends are going to say what to that question, Diane. Diane, can I listen to you, let's say, for the next 5 minutes, Diane? Would that be okay?
I guess. I mean, it seems a little awkward, but yeah, let's do this.
Okay. And John, is it okay if I listen to you for the next 5 minutes?
Definitely.
Okay. So if I have a good close connection, a colleague, a friend, and say, is it okay if I listen to you for the next 5 minutes? Well, you might get some strange looks at you because I can't remember the last time I was listened to. But you're telling me that you'd like to listen to me? Sure.
Yeah. Like when was the last time somebody asked me if they wanted to listen to me? It's been a long time.
So it is an odd question, but I bet most people would say yes. I'm guessing most people will say yes.
And my invitation to you is to do it your way.
Right. Because you know that person. So you know how to invite. Yeah.
Right. So working with somebody side by side, doing podcasts together, doing our weekly coffees, going for our morning runs. You know one another already in a lot of different cases. You see some signs that something might be off, and informally you might turn around and it's okay if I ask you a couple questions, and they might come back and say, what, Diane?
Okay.
Okay. With a little bit of hesitancy in the voice going, okay. So the first question was, if you're going to listen to me, I can't remember the last time somebody asked me that question. And the next part was, you're going to ask me a couple of questions. Sounds suspicious. What are you up to? So my invitation to you is to do it your own way. So here are some questions I want you to ask. So number one, on your paper, I would like to ask you the following questions and to score yourself between 0 and 20. 0 being low and 20 being high. And if I was to ask you the question, how physically fit do you feel you are? Between 0 and 20. Give yourself a score. The next question I had beside that one is, how physically fit would you like to be? Let's say your ideal score. Put that number beside it. So the first one is, how physically fit are you now? And the next question to physical would be, what would be your ideal score? Or what would you like to be? Everybody's good for number one? Okay.
Yes.
Number two, since we did talk about the fact that we normally predominantly talk about physical and mental, and maybe not the other pieces, I'm going to ask you, how mentally fit do you feel you are in this moment? Write down that number between 0 and 20. How mentally fit do you feel you are? And my next question to that one, and put a number beside it, how mentally fit would you like to be?
Oh, I knew that was coming.
I knew that was coming. Number three, how spiritually fit do you feel you are? between 0 and 20, how spiritually fit do you feel you are? And beside that number, I want you to write down the number, how spiritually fit would you like to be? Number 4, how emotionally fit do you feel you are? Write down that score in this moment. How emotionally fit do I feel I am? And beside that number, how emotionally fit would you like to be? My next question for you is, how balanced do you feel you are? First number that comes up for you, how balanced do you feel you are? And next question, how balanced would you like to be? Now, we're going to throw a couple of additional questions in here because, Diane, you touched on it very nicely. And the United States military forces actually intentionally embedded and built into their resiliency model to address the suicide issue that was going on with veterans in the United States. They added in 2 key components to the resiliency model. And this next number 6 becomes social. How socially fit do you feel you are? Whatever that means for you, socially fit. And the next part to that is how socially fit would you like to be? And the last question, because again, they used it, family. How fit do you feel you are within your family? Or how fit do you feel your family is? And how fit would you like your family to be? Write down that score. There are your numbers. As I heard that somebody loves numbers.
Absolutely.
This becomes a starting point. This becomes a starting point to look at some numbers. And this is up, and you don't have to use all those questions. You can use the first 4, the first 5. You can tailor that whatever way you want, but I would invite you to go with at least the first 4. What's the score for physical fitness, mental fitness, spiritual fitness, emotional fitness? And then you got a report card. You got a starting point. And if you see flags or you see the numbers going, how's my buddy really doing? Or how am I really doing? And I know we have the help. I'd invite everybody to reach out to John, reach out to Diane, reach out to somebody else who appeared on our podcast who shared their story of their experience, because, man, experience is golden. I know what I had to do to get myself out of a tough spot. And there is a reason why. And maybe I can help somebody with this. So that is in essence about buddy up. And I think the last thing I really want to talk about is when we're dealing with boys and we're dealing with men, predominantly men and boys have gone into something called a heroic position. That's why they got recruited for the war. That's why a lot of cases, they got recruited to become RCMP officers, correctional guards, military, ambulance, traditionally. And it's really great to see now we're starting to see more women getting involved in those particular fields of work. But when we're dealing with high performance athletes who go into high performance trades, or work, whether it's one of those first line responders or doctors, that increases the risk factor. But we can do something about this. So I think my closing words for yourself, John and Diane, is I thank you so much for this podcast. I want to thank everybody who's listened to this particular podcast, and an invitation that Buddy Up is a program designed by men for men, to address the fact that 3 out of 4 suicides are men or boys, but we know it impacts more than just boys and men. It impacts our partners, our daughters, and other people. And it doesn't have to be that way. An invitation to look at the holistic approach of fitness, the very minimum, physical, mental, spiritual, and emotional. And we can change the numbers. And we can change the trend.
A wonderful conclusion to an excellent episode, Darren.
Thank you, Darren.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much for sharing that with our listeners. Yeah, I mean, you know what you're talking about. Diane and I don't hold any licenses or anything. You know, I'm just a construction worker. That's it. You know, but
I just like to listen. We like to listen to people.
Yeah, we like to listen to people, bring people together. And if the whole initial time when we started this whole podcast, Diane and I were like, hey, if we can help one person get motivated, it's worth it. That was what we said in the beginning. We both said that on the first run that we had when we were talking about the idea, the initial thought of the podcast. That's what we said. And I think that we've done that. I hope that we've done that. So, and if we haven't, we'll keep on doing it until we find that one person. So.
Well, I'm sure we have. And we had no idea at that time that the podcast would be a platform for such a relevant message that you're sharing with
exactly.
us.
Exactly.
And the key of it to address it is movement. That whole movement piece. To be able to come up with so we could have taken this and we could have dived it in with, leveraged it with a tool of emotional fitness called Listening Power. And be able to allow somebody to share further what those scores mean for them. And based upon that framework, be able to share and open up to you, Diane, and open up to you, John, and be able to share a little bit more about what is going on for them, that without the tool, I may not necessarily know what's really going on with someone. And if you look at the Buddy website, John, you'll notice that one of the videos that was done, I think at Vulcan, I think Odin, they were in the oil fields and they were a construction crew. And one of the supervisor was with one of their employees pretty much every day and he took his life. And he says, why didn't I see the signs? Why didn't I pick that up?
Didn't know what to look for.
Right. There you go, John. Diane, I know you have another task to go to on, John. We went over a little bit by about 13 minutes, but I appreciate.
Oh, that's great, Darren.
But who's counting? Right?
Yeah, minutes are not that important when it comes to an important subject like this. In the interest of time, I think we're going to leave it there for this evening for a very special guest, Darren Duguay, and my very special co-host, Diane Trites. I am John Legroff, and we will see you next time. Motivate to Move. Good night, guys.
Bye for now. Thanks, Darren.
Thanks a lot, Darren. We really appreciate your time.
And we were still recording. You can cut that. You can cut that out, eh?
Oh, yes. Absolutely.